In Matthew 5, Jesus was talking in verses 6 to 8. He said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So we're going to sing "We'll Talk It Over." That's a good song, right?
Yeah. This side of heaven. While Brother John is coming up here to sing for us, let me remind you to be in prayer for Gloria DeLisle. She went into the hospital this past week, had an operation, and hopefully she'll be coming back today, but that family is absent from us. Keep her in your prayers, if you will. And remember to pray for Brother Danny's wife, Yuki, and let's see, who else? We got some others.
Yeah,
amen.
I don't know, they told me that you guys already met him once, and I can't remember.
Well, we're glad to have them this morning.
Amen.
Thank you for bringing them. Yeah, okay.
Our baby Miles is going to the doctor this next week about his heart.
Oh, really? Well, that's our great grandson. Okay, be in prayer for him. Thank you, Brother Art. We will. Okay. And somebody else.
Married me.
Who?
Both of married me.
Really? All right, Pat, you got it. Thanks. All right. Seems like there's somebody else. I don't think fast on my feet anymore. Anyway.
Take your time.
Take your time.
Yeah.
That's
right. Amen. Okay. Brother Johnny, come sing for us.
Good morning, everyone. You know, before I sing this song this morning, I just want to read something real quick. And I want everyone to think about what I'm about to read. Is that there are those that rest in a bare hearing of the sayings of Christ and do not live up to them. They are but preparing for a failed disappointment. And I pray that no one here would be like this man in this song. I dream that I had died and gone to heaven. I stood just outside the eastern gate. The man from within asked, "Have you been born again? And is your name written in the book of life?" Written in the book of life. standing there. Oh, I knew that it was too late now for prayer. Oh, my sinner friend, if you want to make it in, your name must be in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus, the book again. I thought my name was dead, for I went to church on Sunday, and though I never knelt in prayer, the book again. Oh, it's too late now, I know. Please search the book again before you make me go. Make sure, my friend, make sure, don't wait.
Let's be in prayer for Brother Simpson. We miss him this morning. Hopefully he'll be with us in our evening service. The text of our message today is in James chapter 1, verse 17. And in this verse, we learn that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I want to speak this morning about God's gift. Do you know what a gift is? I went to the authority, Mr. Webster, to find out what a gift is. What's the definition of a gift? And he said that it's a present. Did you ever give anybody anything? When you gave them something, they had to receive it. If it's not received, It's not a gift. See, you have to have two people involved in this, a giver and a receiver. Otherwise, it's not a gift. A gift is something that is offered to you free of charge, without cost or obligation to you. Nothing is required of you when you are given a gift. And I want to talk to you this morning for a little while about the greatest gift of all. And that's the gift of eternal life. Look around you. Everyone is dying. They're leaving this earth for only God knows where. Soon it'll be your turn and my turn to go. It's inevitable. You don't expect to live here on this earth in your present body forever. What will happen to you when you die? Where will you spend eternity? God offers a way out. And it's free. It's a gift. All you have to do is accept it. But you must receive it. It's made available to you without charge. And what can I say to you that will make you want to accept this gift? I've been telling the people about this free gift for 62 years. And I've persuaded a few people to receive this gift. But I've had 100 times that many who have refused it and turned it down. Why? I don't know. Don't you be one of them. Whether you know it or not, whether you care or not, whether you believe it or not, without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are lost. Amen. Lost to God, lost to heaven, lost for all eternity. But God wants you to be saved. He wants all of us to be saved. I want you to be saved. These people want you to be saved. And Jesus is the only one that can do the job. You can't save yourself. No one else can save you. Only Jesus. You can't get salvation or eternal life anywhere else other than Jesus Christ. And this salvation is the free gift of God. God's the only one that can take you off the road to hell and put you on the road to heaven. And it's all free. So I ask you the question, do you know how to receive a gift? That's how easy it is to be saved. Sometimes people make it complicated. But salvation is a gift. And it's free. Let me give you some scriptures. Let's see what the Bible says. Because the Bible is God's word, and God's the one that does the saving. And it tells us an awful lot about the gift of God. What is it? Well, it's a single gift. It's a one package deal. But it's composed of multiple blessings. Basically, it's salvation. God's gift is salvation. When He saves you from hell and eternal destruction. That means that when you die, your soul will go to heaven and not to hell. It means your name is written in the book. In God's book of life, your sins are all pardoned, forgiven. You're cleansed from them. They're taken away. And you have received everlasting life. You become a child of God, a member of His family. You are born again. And it is all free, all for the asking. Doesn't cost you a red cent to get saved. All you have to do is believe. Accept the gift that God offers free. Paul tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is the free gift of God. It's eternal life. Now your physical body will still die. But when your physical body dies and is buried or cremated or whatever disposal you want to make of it, your immortal soul goes to heaven. You'll even exist in a new body that'll know no pain nor sorrow throughout all eternity. Paul also tells us in Romans 5:15, but not as the offense, and here he's talking about Adam sinning in the Garden of Eden versus Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and going to Calvary. But not as the offense, so also is the what? Free gift. We're talking about the gift of God. It is free. It's a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Now here we learn that God's gift is free and that it's by grace. Now grace means unmerited favor. You don't have to deserve it. You don't do anything to earn it. Actually, you don't deserve it. God gives it to us freely because He loves us. God gives us eternal life because He loves us. And all we have to do is receive it. And it becomes ours. That's His invitation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's God's free gift. No one can buy it. No one has enough money. If it were for sale, you couldn't buy it. It cannot be purchased. Long ago, there was a man by the name of Simon, we read about in the Bible. He lived in the city of Samaria. Remember that? Jesus went through Samaria one day and met a woman at Jacob's well. And she went into the city and told all the people, "Is not this the Christ?" And they all came out and a lot of them got saved. Well, living there in that city was this fellow Simon. Simon was a sorcerer. He bewitched the people with sorceries, and he passed himself off as some great man, saying that what he did through the great power of Almighty God. Well, here comes an evangelist, one of the apostles, by the name of Philip. And Philip stops over there in the city of Samaria, and he begins to preach Christ to these people. Now remember that Jesus had been there, and a lot of them knew him and knew about him. And he's preaching to them Christ, crucified, buried, risen, coming again. And as he preached, there were many people of Samaria who got saved. They accepted Christ. They were born again. They were baptized. Simon was one of them. He became a believer in Jesus. And Philip baptized him. He became a disciple of Philip. He followed him around everywhere that he went. Now Philip was one of the apostles, and he had the power that God had promised his apostles, and they did many mighty works. They healed the sick. Some of them even raised the dead. They could do miracles. And Simon the sorcerer was fascinated as he watched Philip going around and giving sight to blind eyes and causing the lame to walk again and the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak and all of these things. Then Peter and John came and joined Philip. Now we got three of the apostles in one little town, Samaria. Peter and John had a prayer meeting, and they prayed for all of those people who had been saved, all of those who had received the word of God and had been baptized. They laid their hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, because at that time the Holy Ghost had not been given to them. Now Simon saw what happened to these people when they received the Holy Spirit. Now mind you that he'd been in the secular side of this as his business in sorcery. And he watched Philip doing this through the power of God, and he wanted that power. He wanted that ability. Remember, he's a believer in Jesus now, and he has been baptized, and he wants the power to give sight to people who are blind and to heal those that are sick and such as this. And he coveted that ability, and he went up to Simon Peter, pulled out his billfold. He says, "What will it take for me to buy this power that you have? I want to have that power so that I can heal the sick and cause the lame to walk again." He wanted to buy the gift. Peter said to him, it's recorded in Acts chapter 8 and verse 20, "Thy money perish with thee because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." You cannot buy the gift of God regardless of how much money you have. It is free. And free means that it's without cost, without price. Now, today, when a person is saved, they receive the Holy Ghost as a, listen to this, as a free gift of God. You can't buy him. If you could buy him, you could probably sell him. He's given to you as a free gift. And he dwells in us, in our physical bodies. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached. Part of his sermon said in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, is a gift to those who receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. To those who receive God's gift of salvation. He preached that to those people, and they did. They repented, and they were baptized, and they all received that gift of the Holy Spirit. All 3,000 of them. These were the Jews. This happened in Jerusalem. But what about the billions of Gentiles outside the Commonwealth of Israel? What about them? Go with me down to a place called Caesarea. And let's stop in at the house of a Roman centurion, a man who's an officer in the Roman army, has 100 men under him. And he's been reading his Bible. And he got under conviction that he's a sinner and needs to be saved. So he sends to Joppa. And his servants reach Joppa, and they find a man by the name of Simon Peter, the apostle. And they bring Simon Peter and six of his Jewish brothers down to Caesarea. And he gathers together all the household of Cornelius, and he preaches to them. And in his preaching, he said, "Whosoever believeth in Jesus shall receive remission of sins." Now the Bible says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, that's the six Jewish brethren that had accompanied him down there, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out what? The gift of the Holy Ghost on the Gentiles, the same as he had on the Jews on the day of Pentecost. Now, when Peter was called on the carpet before the church authorities in Jerusalem about preaching to these Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, he defended himself and said in Acts 11:17, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" I couldn't do anything about it. I told them about Jesus, and while I was telling them about Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God fell upon them. I didn't have anything to do with it. I just preached the word. The Holy Spirit fell upon them as he did upon us. We're reminded of what Jesus said in Luke 11:13. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask him?" God will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. He can be had simply by the asking. "You have not because you ask not," Jesus says. "Ask and you shall receive." A gift is made to be received. Now, up to this point, my message has been directed primarily to anyone that might not be saved. But I want to show you. I want to show you that God has a gift for you. And it's free for the asking. And it's eternal life. Simply this: do you want to go to heaven when you die? Jesus is the only way. No man can come unto the Father but by him. He is the door. He is an open door. And he says, "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." But let me talk to you that are saved for just a moment. Give you some words of encouragement about the gifts of God. The gift, singular, is the gift of eternal life, which we by faith have received when we received Christ. And in receiving Him, we have also received the Holy Ghost. But there are gifts of God for every one of us, particularly the believers. How shall He not with Him freely give you all things? Romans 5:17, Paul said, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." The gift of righteousness. When you get saved, God takes away that old cloak, rags, dirty self-righteousness, and He puts on us a white robe of His own righteousness. That's what we're clothed in. That's the reason why we can come boldly into the presence of God 24/7. Because we come in the righteousness of Christ and not our own. Romans 5:18. "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." We're justified by faith. Justified means just as if I had never sinned. Peter said, "As every man..." Did that leave you out? No. "As every man hath received the gift, even so," what are you going to do with it? "Minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Use it. That is to be used for. You don't just take it and put it up on a shelf to look at. But it's something that it's a gift that you use to minister to others. First Corinthians 7:7, "For I would that all men were even as I myself," Paul says. "But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that." What's he saying? We all have gifts. Our gifts are not the same. Everyone has a different gift. And we are to use the gift that God has given us. We are to minister with that gift that God has given us. And he also tells us in Romans 11:29, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." God's not going to take it back. He gives it to you to use, to minister with. And you'll be responsible for the use of His gift when you stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. It's a gift that God gives, that you receive, and you're to use it And every man has a different gift. So don't go around comparing your gift with somebody else's. I got a better gift than you have. Oh, no, you don't. Yes, I do too. What is your gift? Well, my gift is so-and-so. What's yours? My gift is something else. All right. We're not given those gifts to compare. Well, how come I didn't get one like yours? God didn't want you to have it. That's why you don't have it. He gave you a gift. Use it for His name's honor and glory. Paul said, whereof I was made a minister. He wasn't a minister to start with, was he? When God saved him, He made him a minister. According to what? The gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power. God made him a minister and gave him power to use that gift that God had given him. And he did, didn't he? He made pretty good use of it. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities, that means that they're not alike. They're different. Everyone has a different gift. But it's the same Spirit that gives that gift. 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. 1 Corinthians 12:28 tells us that. And then he goes on to say, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then he starts out in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians and tells us what that more excellent way is when he talks about loving one another. Amen. One day Jesus found himself at Jacob's well in Samaria. While he was there, this woman came to draw water from the well, and Jesus asked her for a drink. And during their conversation, here's what he said to her. If thou knewest, what? The gift of God. And woman, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
Amen.
That living water would have been a gift. You read the rest of the story. When she went back into the village to tell the people about Jesus, the man at the well, she left her water pot at the well. But she took a well of water within her to the city of Samaria and told them, using her gift, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Second Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Unspeakable gift. Do you have his gift today? Christian, are you using the gift that God has given you? Maybe someone here that's never been saved. Can you imagine that? It's free. It's free. There's no charge for it. God will save your soul for all eternity. He'll take you to heaven when you die. Who wants to go to hell? We want to go to heaven. How are we going to get there? You can't buy a ticket on the train. The airplanes don't go there. God offers you an eternal ticket. He'll take you for free. It doesn't cost you anything. The price has been paid. Jesus paid the price on the cross of Calvary when he shed his blood and died for our sins. Salvation is a free gift. Have you received it yet? Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're overwhelmed today at your graciousness. To think that you love this world so much that you gave, yes, gave your only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary, that whosoever would believe on him would receive as a free gift eternal life. There may be someone in this congregation today who has never received that gift. And I pray that the Holy Spirit has used the Word of God today to convict their hearts, show them their need, and show them that it's a free gift from God. If there are Christians here today that have not been using the gift that you've given them, I pray, Father, that you would convict their hearts today and convince them that they need to use the gift that you've given them to the benefit of others, to minister to the saints. And we'll give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. 236.
Number 236 in your hymn book. Let's sing a verse of invitation. Maybe somebody here needs to come today. We'll give you that opportunity here as we sing. Jesus paid it all.